Thank you, Darren. So two old men are sitting on a park bench, and one is watching a group of children play and having fun, and the other man is watching a trash truck, stinky diesel trash truck, empty the trash. One of them says, "Isn't that the beautifulest, most beautiful, wonderfulest scene you've ever seen in your life?" And the other one thought for a moment and said, "Yeah, but it sure is smelly." I think this really illustrates the difficulty that we have trying to establish communication, trying to establish effective communication with one another in this life. And it really doesn't matter what relationship you're talking about. It can be business relationships, it can be family relationships, marriage relationships. It's difficult to establish really good communication patterns. And this morning I would like for us to spend some time thinking about that. If you're visiting today, we're very happy that you're here. We'd like to encourage you to become a student of the Word of God, for this is life. This is life, this is your purpose, and it is truly who you are. Knowing God, living with God, this is what God created you to be. And if you so far have missed the purpose of your being, we'd love to sit down and to think about the Word of God with you. Well, communication is a very basic idea. It's the idea of sharing. We know what community is about, to commune. When we talk about communication, we're talking about the idea of sharing something. And, of course, it has to do with vocalizing, basically, some other things involved in that as well. But getting our ideas across to one another, getting our concepts, our principles, our thoughts across to one another so that we can improve our relationships. And this is a difficult thing. Communication is one of those things that has a lot of complexities built into it. We bring who we are to all communication. And thus, we often find ourselves having problems trying to communicate effectively with one another. And this is so true in marriage. Two people who have come from such different directions, they have been raised in different families who have different patterns and methods of communication. Two people coming together, and then with their own sins, trying to figure each other out, communication can be extremely difficult. But communication, of course, is extremely, extremely important. Communication conveys important information to us for understanding each other, for the betterment of our relationship, and for getting to the heart of the matter. That's the great big umbrella, right, of the need for communication. But we also realize, and most women realize this, that communication releases a lot of tension that can sit within us. When we rightly or wrongly have judged another person's behavior, there's another sermon right there. But communication is great for releasing tension, and a lot of husbands don't really understand this with their wives, but almost every wife truly does understand it. Proverbs 27:6 reminds us, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And that has to do with the idea of communicating with one another, sometimes talking about the things that are very serious in relationships. As iron sharpens iron, chapter 27, verse 17, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We have the idea of communication with each other, working with each other for the betterment of one another. And how true this is when it comes to marriage and our relationship as husband and wife. Now, we all have a style of communication, whether we like it or not. And here's just a sampling of the styles we can have. We can have blaming styles, where as soon as we begin to communicate, we kind of go into the blame game. It's your fault. You're the one that's doing this. And we have David and Michael in 2 Samuel 6. Remember, David has returned from capturing the ark, from getting the ark back into to Israel in a very secure way. And David rejoices in this, and he leaps, and he's happy, and he dances, and he's doing this in front of everybody. And he returned home, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, his wife, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children at the day of her death. We kind of understand why, I think, out of that circumstance. But verse 16 says that she had despised him in her heart. There's a lot that we can see in the relationship here between David and Michal, but one of them was feelings that were getting in the way of their communication and the strong intent that was within them. All Michal wanted to do was to tear him down. All she wanted to do was express her feelings. She didn't want to get to the bottom of the matter and try to heal things. She's just feeling shame about what he had done, that he would remove his outer garment and that he would dance around, you know, that he would leap for joy because of what this day meant. To her, it was a very shameful thing, and she was deeply ashamed of her husband. David, instead of being concerned about really trying to work things out with his wife, instead he said, well, this is of the Lord, you know, we've got a good thing going here, and God did choose me instead of your dad, right? In all of this, you know, you see God's hand in this, and I'm going to be even more undignified than this. Well, David did a lot of good things, but in this circumstance, I think that we can see Michal and David did not quite have it together as far as what they were trying to accomplish, what they should have been trying to accomplish in their marriage, coming to a very good point of communication, and as we'll talk about, being for each other in marriage. There are a lot of different methods we can have. We can have a blaming method. We can have a placating method where I'm just going to give in all the time, and no matter what, you know, we have to make the peace. And so my communication is about, instead of being honest about things, I'm just going to kind of give in. The computing method, you know, where this is the way things are, and I don't want to talk about emotions or anything like this, and this is just what I expect you to do, and you do it. There's the distracting way of communication where we don't really, you know, want to get to the heart of the matter and the real issues. And so there's just kind of trying to steer around things until we can get through this conversation, and ignoring, which goes with that. I really don't want to get to the real matter here, and so I will try to ignore whatever I can. You know, we have these methods. Then there's bullying and belittling. And you know, there are a lot of methods that we can have in our communication that really destroys our sharing. Remember, we go back to the word sharing. Our sharing with one another. We have to learn to recognize that I can have these things in my life. I can have this as a method that I use in communicating with people. And I have to ask the question, how do I interfere with true communication with others and definitely with my wife in my own marriage or with my husband? How do I interfere with true communication? The truth is, you probably have something that does interfere, right? Do you as a husband and a wife have good communication? And some of you can say, you know, we've got it down. We've really worked on it. And that's great. And others of us say, well, you know, that's an ebb and flow, an up and down thing in our lives. And, you know, we've had a lot of trouble with it. And really, we've never really even perfected. And Don and I have had to work on that throughout our lives. And I will admit there's one person that's the biggest problem of all between us. I think you know who it is. And I wish he would fix his problem. But he's trying. How do I interfere with true communication? Well, let's talk about 9 humongous sharing principles. And again, I recommend the book Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts and some of our other marriage builders. Again, this is a marriage preparation series that I use in trying to teach people, you know, some things about marriage. But Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts by Parrott and Parrott has some of these things within it, and then some of the things involved we'll talk about today also. But 9 humongous sharing principles that should be involved in our communication. And of course, so much depends upon what's going on in my heart and my brain as I start this process, right? We talked about being for our spouse a few weeks ago. Am I really for my spouse? And our fruit often says, I'm really not for my spouse. I'm really not for a stronger marriage. I'm for the static situation. Keep things as they are and go on with life. And that often describes it. But when it comes to communication, we have to ask this very important first question. Am I really for my spouse, and am I really for my marriage? Do I really care about having a stronger marriage? And remember in Matthew 5, 23 and 24 that Jesus told us that if you have a problem with your brother, look, this is so important. If your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And there we see approach to brother, but behind this is this very important principle that says, look, I'm for this relationship with my brother. I want to establish this relationship with my brother. And I'm going to, being for the relationship, I will go and I will communicate with my brother. Because I'm for him and I am for our relationship. How true this is, of course, in marriage. Are we for each other? Now, communication can have different purposes. You know, a CEO might have a very different purpose in his communications than saying, look, I'm for you as an individual and you should be for me. You know, diplomatic relationships, diplomatic communication is going to have very different motivations. You know, trying to establish what goes on between countries where in communication might have to do with what I get out of this circumstance of protecting myself. But when we come to marriage communication, we have to ask this very important thing. Am I really for my spouse? Am I really trying to build this relationship? And thus, as we talk with one another, as we share, am I really trying to build a marriage by releasing what I am and trying to understand who my mate, what my mate really is? Am I for my spouse? Secondly, very important principle, do I emote warmth? When you look at Paul's epistles, and all but one of them, Paul tries to be warm. He offers warmth. Romans 1, chapter 8, God is my witness, that I make mention of you always in my prayers. I long to see you, that I can impart to you some spiritual gift. We have Paul, except for the book of Galatians, that is offering himself in a very warm way. Even Corinthians, where there's a lot of troubles going on, we see Paul offering some warmth. Here's a good question. Do I emote warmth? Which says a lot about whether I'm into this conversation or not. If I have a very cold method in my communication, you know, what does that tell the person that I'm talking with? If I have a cold method, doesn't that say I have a cold heart as far as our relationship is concerned? You know, when I really show that I'm not willing to try to smile in this. I'm not willing to try to be understanding in this. And we just have this cold, cold approach. Isn't that a great turnoff to things going forward? And, of course, I know that today I'm speaking to a great degree to husbands. Because it is husbands, it is usually us that has this problem. And husbands and wives, all kinds of problems between two of them. But when it comes to communication, usually it's the husband that really doesn't enjoy it. That process, and usually it's the wife that is the more needy one as far as that is concerned, but husbands, we need it too. We need it more than we realize, and we need it for a marriage to be that strong marriage. But do I emote warmth when we sit down in a conversation? Or is it obviously, you know, oh, doing this again? No, not again. You know, I'm going to sit and we're just totally in our posture, totally against this circumstance. Do I emote warmth? And am I empathetic? These things really go together to a strong degree. Am I empathetic in my approach to communication? Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding. And that really is the case in a lot of communication. I really don't want to understand. Husbands, we have to ask ourselves the question, is that often true? I really don't want to understand my wife any more than I do. I don't care if we go anywhere else in our marriage. Am I really empathetic when it comes to my communication and my sharing with my wife, with my spouse, my husband? And this simply says that I must truly want to know what the other person is feeling and what the other person is saying. I want to know how this other person has been impacted by the circumstances of our marriage or by my behavior. I want to know what is in that person's heart. And I want that person to know what is in my heart. Husbands, when's the last time you really thought about that when you entered into communication with your wife? You know, you sat and talked with your wife. I really want to know what's going on in there. Or was it kind of I've got projects to do and this is a project to get over with. You know, come on, let's do this thing. We have to really question ourselves, am I really empathetic in my approach to communication to want to truly understand my mate, to know him or her, and then understanding to be able to move on where things should be moving on? Am I empathetic in my communication skills? Number four, do I check for turnoffs? We can easily have a lot of turnoffs. We've already hit a couple of them in our approach, in our communication. Remember in Luke 9, Jesus was on his way to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to go there to die. And his face, it says, was set to go to Jerusalem in verse 51. In verse 52, there were those that would want to receive Jesus, or they were interested in knowing more about Jesus, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. His face was set. And that's the idea, of course, that, you know, there was his vision. And we can pull, you know, when your face is set towards something, you know, when you are focused on something, it is very clear. The message is very clear. And, you know, sometimes we can send a big message when we have a relation, in our relationships with our mates, in our communications, and we can truly turn off the conversation before it has ever started. And we can have that look on our face again, you know. I mean, wives, you know, how many times you've seen on your husband, you know, let's do this again, you know, and you're just kind of shaking your head, looking in the other direction, and your body is kind of pointed, you know, towards the door. Of course, obviously, obvious reading here, you know, and your wife is looking at all of this, and she's saying, here's somebody that does not want to sit and talk with me. And if you're really honest, sometimes that's very true. You just don't feel like this right now. You don't want to be here, you know, going into the heart matter and dealing with these deeper core issues. You'd just really rather be out of there. And so your body says it. Everything on your face, everything in your body says that I would rather be somewhere else. Well, obviously we know that the body speaks loudly as far as what's in the heart. And there have been percentages set forth by many who have studied the issue of communication. But some sources say that nonverbal communication is 58% of the total message. In other words, it doesn't matter what you say. If your face says something else, forget what you're saying, because your face is telling the message. And how true that is, we have to look at ourselves. You know, as I enter into communication, from the very beginning, you know, if you start the conversation having this, I want to be out of here with your face, it's already over, you know. And you already shut down that possibility of intimacy between hearts. You have to be prepared to really open up your heart before your mate. And to want to sit down and to truly want to understand, be empathetic with this individual. If you don't feel that way, it's going to show. We have to do the heart thing. And then we have to train ourselves, you know, for everything else to follow with it. And, of course, usually if our heart's there, then the rest is going to follow. So do I check for the turnoffs, you know, in my conversation? Do I make conversation as palatable as possible? Again, methods enter into. We all have our methods, and there's a lot of junk in our methods sometimes. Colossians 4 and verse 6, though speaking about our relationship to the lost and what we should be in the world, there's a very general principle here that says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Would that apply in our marriage? Let your speech be seasoned with grace, and always be with grace, and seasoned with salt. You know, we can sometimes make our conversation a very, very cold one. You know, we can throw out very explosive words. You know those explosive words like, you never, you always, you know, do this. This is your problem. You know, we all like that word problem when they're thrown at us, don't we? You know. We have these explosive words that we realize can truly, you know, they can change a circumstance. They can do away with the conversation. We have to realize that there's a lot of wisdom that goes into our conversation. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That is that the way you say something obviously is going to, in a strong way, determine the outcome. Just simply by how you say something, it can determine the outcome or change the outcome of what you're trying to accomplish. Make what we say as palatable as possible. We avoid those explosive words. We turn accusations into I statements. You know, we realize this is a biggie. Instead of, you make me feel stupid when you correct me in public. You know, I really want you to know that I feel very put down when you do that to me in front of people.
Now, there's a big difference. And when we can remove the accusations out of a conversation, you know, these are just points of wisdom that makes sense to us. Then we help to carry on the conversation. We try then to get the negative out of the conversation, because what we want to do is to get to the core of this circumstance, right? And many times there are things that are just simply in the way of getting to the core. Well, here's one that's very important. 9 humongous sharing principles. Do I actually listen? Do I actually listen? Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame. You have the idea of someone who doesn't even hear the situation yet. He doesn't listen to the circumstance, and yet he's going forward in the circumstance. And that kind of fits us sometimes, doesn't it? Especially you and I as husbands, that we're not really even listening. Could you go to the store for me, and would you pick up this and this, and afterwards would you go over here and pick up this? How many times, husband, have you been told that, and it went in one ear and went out the other, and you didn't hear it? Or how many times a conversation have you really not heard what your mate was saying? Do I actually listen when I am in conversation with anybody? The answer to that is very often no, isn't it? We've all had many conversations. You've had them with me. Where my mind was somebody else. It was on something that was going on, and, you know, your conversation is there, but my mind is thinking about, you know, what's going on over there, this relationship, or troubles I'm thinking between somebody, or whatever it is. And there have been a few times you knew I didn't quite listen to the circumstance. And, you know, we're all there sometimes. These things do happen. Do I actually listen? There are a lot of things that get in the way of our listening. We can be very defensive. We can have a defensive mindset that's not open to hearing. We can be rebuilding our rebuttals. We can be making our excuses, which miss the message that we're hearing. We have all these things that can work within us that actually get in the way of our listening. We can project our own feelings and thoughts, and our biases can get in the way. We don't want to hear. Our fears can get in the way. I don't want to know where this is going. You know, I really don't want to work towards marriage improvement. I don't want to deal with reality. And fear can get in the way. Bad attitudes or bad previous experiences in communication. And wives, that's something to think about. Do you create in communication bad patterns wherein your husband really doesn't want to sit and talk with you because of the way that you approach things? This lesson, of course, is for all of us. We can have inner struggles which color the message or our hearing. And we can, like having very poor self-esteem, can miss the point of what's being said and can feel instead very much of an attack to self. And we can have an interrupting habit that says, I don't really want to sit and listen to you. I just want to get my point across. We can sometimes have overload. Every couple has to figure out how to do their own thing here. But, you know, you can be filled with fatigue or sometimes emotional injury that can just shut down your reception of the things that are said. Don and I have tried to learn through the years. I shut down at 10 o'clock, after 10 o'clock at night. I'm not a night person, but I'm a morning person. And Don is not a morning person. She's a night person. And many times she's wanted to talk at night. But I tell you, I'm already snoring, you know. And, you know, it's very frustrating to Donna. And, you know, it's hard to poke yourself and make yourself come awake when you're already asleep in your brain. Your brain is out and your eyes are trying to stay open, you know. It's been a difficult thing trying to figure that out. But sometimes that's kind of where things are. And a couple has to of course, realize the differences among themselves and to deal with these things. But we can have filters that are working within us, hearing what we want as it fits our mood and our preconceptions, looking for injury. Sometimes what we listen to, we hear the words, but we don't listen to the heart that's speaking. Instead, we're looking for the things that fit, that we're filtering with. We're listening for the things that will hurt. I'm in a habit of feeling hurt all the time, and so I'm looking for how the things that my mate is saying so that I will feel hurt. And then I'll feel justified, you know, about some of the attitudes that I have in my towards my mate. There are a lot of things that can get in the way of listening. But we need to be good listeners. We need to truly try to actually listen. Try to listen.
and husbands and wives, wives too. It is to say, I truly need to hear. I need to hear the words. I need to hear the heart that is speaking. I need to hear this whole message. And that goes into then what we do in our method. You know, one of the things that helps is, of course, to listen intently and then be able to clarify and restate what is being said. And sometimes, listening to Donna, I will, in my own mind, I will try to rephrase what she is saying, or maybe voice what is being said so that she knows that I understand what is going on. And if I don't do this, I'll tell you, my mind will be in other directions. It's sad to say that we have to use some tools sometimes to keep our minds on track, but hey, if it works, it works. Listen with your ears and your eyes and your body. Make sure that your body is tuned, to a listening project. I want to hear what you say, my mind and my face, my eyes, everything. I'm going to focus right here so that I will be following guidelines for my own ability to listen. I will pick up on present emotions and be able to gently verbalize them. I understand that you've been really hurt by this. I can understand your anger. I see frustration, or I'm picking up a strong sense of love out of something that happened here. It's not all negative, of course. Conversation is about getting to the heart of matters. It's not just discussion of problems. It has to do a lot with feelings of one for another that are very positive. Inquiring and expanding. Can you tell me more about the questioning? Questioning and interrogation in conversation is incredibly important. Some people, how do I talk to people? They really have that big question. I don't know how to talk to people. The answer really is interrogating people. You ask questions, and you're always asking questions, and you're wanting to expand those questions. That's how you learn, but it's also, of course, how you carry on a conversation. We have to listen to ourselves talk, because a lot of times as we're listening in our conversation, we've got a lot of baggage that's sitting around in our minds, and that baggage can be due to previous injuries that we have had. Who knows what's bouncing in there, but we have to listen to ourselves in even how we are listening. Am I being objective with what's going on, or am I letting a lot of junk in my mind and my life bounce around that's in the way of my listening to my mate? And of course, we need to validate the other person's feelings as legitimate. That's the old thing. All feelings are legitimate. The data that they're based on may not be legitimate. Well, not all the time, not in every circumstance, even our feelings legitimate. Sometimes we've got some major problems in our lives, but basically, when someone's angry, there's a reason for the anger, but let's look at that, what that reason is, why you're angry, and let's try to fix that reason. The emotions are that which we can validate. I understand the emotion, but let's make sure that we understand here the real full picture about what's going on, and the reason for your becoming angry. We need to be good listeners. Here's just a primer for us trying to improve our listening ability. Good communication begins with being a good listener. And it doesn't happen without being a good listener. Okay? So do I actually listen? Do I carry out agreed upon directions? We've talked before. We talked 25 years ago, didn't we? We talked 17 years ago. We talked, last month, didn't we? About these things. But nothing has changed. That's never happened to me, this is reality, isn't it? It's hard to break our own patterns. And we communicate with each other and say, I'm going to work on this, and then we're back to our old patterns again. And I haven't fixed, what I really wanted to fix. But that's a barrier to communication, because that when someone, the husband or the wife, if we're not moving forward in these agreed improvements, then, what's the point of talking anymore? That's kind of a feeling that you can have. So am I one to carry out, what we've talked about? What is good for us as a couple? Am I accomplishing and executing what I need to be doing? That's just simply a point of wisdom. And do I embrace and work on communication differences? And we've talked before about a woman out of Genesis chapter 2 and one flesh. And we have a woman that is just so built for relationship,
She's so into the sense of being in a relationship with a husband, I know, with her husband. But a husband is different. A husband very much, you know, he's done his project, he's gotten his wife, and he's on to other things to conquer and other projects. And his life isn't all about the being of the relationship with his wife. But his wife is all about the being of a relationship with her husband. Those are two very different circumstances, aren't they? Two very different directions. You know, we can also practice this in our communication technique. A woman may want to really sit and enjoy conversation, communication, sharing with her husband. If the husband thinks about communication, how many times have you done this? As, okay, let's sit down and we'll fix this, and then we'll go on. Right? There's not really a sit and sharing. It's not to share so much, to enjoy the sense of being with one another. It is to say, look, this is one of my other projects. We'll communicate right here, and then we'll be through with it, and we'll go on. Okay. We have to realize these differences. We have to realize how these things do get in the way of talking with each other. Again, am I for my mate? Do I want to empathize with my mate? Do I truly want to know the other heart, the heart of my mate? Do I really want to come to a union, to a strong oneness with my mate? Number 9, many other things we could talk about, but do I stay focused on issues in my conversation and communication? Because very often in our communication, what we want to do is just simply express our pain. Okay, wives, there's a lesson. If you're in a habit of all you want to really do is express your pain to your husband, no wonder your husband never wants to talk to you. Sometimes we want to talk about the pain more than we want to talk about the real issues that we have that would fix a lot of that pain. And so we have to really stop and ask ourselves, you know, am I focusing here on the real issues? I would love to get into how you have been so unjust to me. I'd love to get into how I'm so angry and I feel bitterness about this, but wait a minute. All that does is going to do is cause little explosions everywhere around of what we're trying to accomplish. I'll stay focused. After all, I love you. Am I not for you? Go back to that again. Am I not for you? If I am for you, I'll deal with my pain and we can deal with our pain together. But if I'm for you, I want to know you. I want to know these issues. We will work on this together. And I'll stay focused on the real issue instead of listening to Satan, who loves all the explosions that take place in marriage. Okay? Yeah, we can live satanic lifestyles. We can have satanic methods of communication wherein Satan's trying to destroy what you have. Do I stay focused? Do I focus in love? See, so often we've lost focus of 1 Corinthians 13, where I am so for this other person, I'm going to be so patient with this other person, even though it seems like I have to be a lot more patient than the other, you know, true or not, can feel that way. Am I really approaching our conversation with a strong spirit? I'm for you. I love you. Where two people have this, and yes, I know it's two people. Where two people have this, you have then that strong possibility of a true one flesh, the way that God intended it to be. And again, husbands, very frankly, that's what your wife, for the most part, most wives, that's what your wife is looking for. She's looking for, as we've seen before, a best friend. And she wants you to be her best friend. She wants you to be her true companion. Not someone connected in a household and not just a moneymaker. She's looking for a heart bond. And you can do a lot as a husband to create that. And wives, you can examine your own patterns and methods as to what you do towards your husband to create that. But we need to realize we can so improve our marriages by taking on this very godly, God-invented thing called communication. Well, relationship needs communication sharing. This is true in all relationships. But very often people are enemies because they have not sat down and really tried to have this sharing of the hearts and minds and philosophies in communication. Secondly, marriage trouble can be incredibly helped with some very simple and meaningful communication. And you can make that big difference. You as a husband, you as a wife, decide, I'm going to make the difference in my marriage right now, today, by moving forward with communication. When I say today, I mean today. Today's a good day. It's Sunday.
and it's the first day of the rest of your life. You know, there's something very profound, right? It's a great day to start a better marriage. And by employing communication and by employing the right methods and attitudes in communication. Let's think about this. Starters for a better relationship, you have to make time to do it. And there it is. Make time to do it. You know, do it monthly, do it weekly, whatever. Do it daily for a little while. You know, you do this little check. It's the marriage check. Where are things right now? And there are some very good questions that you can ask. Is there something that I need to resolve? You know, these are starters. Is there something I need to resolve in our relationship? Is there something I need to apologize to you for? You know, if two people are doing this, see, wives, you're usually thinking, that's what the husband needs to do for me. He needs to come apologize to me. Maybe you've got some things to apologize for as well. You know, if two people are doing this, how about this question? What are you lacking in our relationship? You know, that's a great starter. And most mates can come up with at least a list of three things, if not, you know, 250 things. But, you know, a lot of times if three very chief things can be met in a marriage is so much better. How about this question? How can I simply be a better spouse for you? You know, let's tweak our marriages. I want to be a better spouse for you. What can I do to make things better? All we have to do is to do this. And, of course, there are many more questions. This is a very much of a primer in this subject. But we have to make the time, and we have to make this a constant. You know, we've got to do this all the time. We go back to what Harley said one time. You know, in his studies of relationships, he said, look, if you want a good relationship with your wife, you've got to have communication conversation with her, be with her 15 hours a week. Sorry to discourage you, husbands, you know. You might not be able to make that 15 hours, you know, but the point is it takes a lot more time than we realize to try to build a better relationship. And this is true with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's true in our families. It's true everywhere, but it's certainly true when it comes to our relationship with our spouses. So the things that we've talked about, these are godly things. We go back to God invented marriage. He knew it was going to be difficult. He gave regulations wherein we would respect those regulations because he knew it was going to be difficult. But this is our great challenge, to learn sacrifice and to learn concern and thought for the other person, and then for two people practicing that to come together to a true sense of oneness and unity and one fleshness in serving God. Well, where is your marriage to God? You need to communicate with God. You need to listen to what he's had to say. You need to come to him. You need to start your ability to talk with God, having a Savior that's removed all the barriers between you and God. And today you can move forward in your faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, all things are ready. You can decide to let your faith motivate you and move you to come to him, be baptized into his body, even as Jesus died for you and was raised to walk in newness of life. You can. Being baptized into Jesus, enter into his death. You can die, your sins can be killed, and you can be raised to walk in newness of life and have that hope. If you're ready to do that, why not do that this morning? As together we stand.